Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to ExpressPros.com to find your location. That's ExpressPros.com.
Right now, a conversation that I am very excited for. Mike North is on the hotline. He is the vice president of NFL broadcast planning. And Mike, I just got to say, I nerd out over the NFL schedule to an unhealthy level. I think I've watched it's turning into like an annual thing for me. I watched the video that the NFL made about you guys putting the schedule out there. I think it was back in like 2021, I want to say. I envy the work of you guys. I know it's a lot of work. I know it is it can be very tiring through the last couple of months, but I just nerd out like it on that like crazy. So I'm excited to talk to you here.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on, Donnie. Look forward to talking to anybody who loves this stuff, you know, as much as I do. So fire away. Happy to answer anything you got.
Well, first, I mean, what is that feeling of relief once the schedule is presented to the commissioner, presented to the broadcast partners, and for them to say, yeah, you know what, guys, this looks good. Let's rubber stamp it. And then it's like your work is done for the 25-26 season.
Well, if only it were that easy. The work is not done. Definitely still some I's to dot and T's to cross. Obviously, that's what flexible scheduling and some TBD Saturday pools and still a few more things to align on officially once the season gets started. You know, it's May. Season doesn't even start for 4 months, and the games with playoff implications that are important in December don't get played for 8 months. I mean, what do any of us know in this league? So definitely not putting our feet up and you know, coasting to the finish. There's still a lot of stuff to worry about, and honestly still kind of reacting to the club and network partner reactions. It's almost a two-phase process because the teams get the schedule 48 hours out, the networks get it 24 hours out, and they're just reacting to their own schedules because they don't know everybody else's yet. Then when the whole thing comes out Wednesday night and now they see what everybody else got, oh, wait a minute, now we have to re-react to our schedule. I thought I was good, but now I'm not as good as I thought, having seen what he got instead. So still a couple more days to brace for impact and hope that everybody is, you know, if not happy with us, just equally disappointed.
Is it pretty often that teams will call you guys up, or maybe even the networks will call and be like, hey, man, we don't like this?
Yes, nobody's happy on schedule release day. I mean, the truth is, you know, it's a zero-sum game. So anything that's good for the Steelers is bad for the Ravens. Anything that's good for ESPN is bad for NBC. So it's a lot of managing expectations and honestly managing egos and really trying to understand, you know, the signals and the noise. Like, everybody's a little disappointed. Okay, got it. But, like, what's real? What's legitimate? What's something that we really should have thought a little bit more about or be better prepared for next time we have to do this? And so really trying to listen to everybody, you know, give them their day in court and really try to understand, you know, do we learn from this, or is some of this just, you know, the nature of the beast?
How has all of this evolved? I mean, like, back in the day, the schedule was put together by, what, one man, and it was put together on an old school board, and, you know, you got through one schedule and that was that. It seems amazing to me how that was where we used to be, and now the amount of combinations that you guys have to run the schedules through to make sure you get your favorite one.
Yeah, the miracle really isn't even that we get through 50,000 now. It's that we ever got one done when we were doing it by hand. And the guy you're talking about, Val Pinchbeck, literally used to do it in his head. It was different. You know, it was a 14-week season there for a minute, and obviously the stakes weren't quite as high, at least in terms of the media revenue that is generated by the sport. So it was a little bit of a different animal back then. But, yeah, there's no easy way to satisfy all 32 who are looking for the same thing, which is a Super Bowl ring at the end of this, and there's no easy way to satisfy all the media partners when, you know, there's only one Kansas City-Dallas game to give out this year. There's only one Green Bay-Pittsburgh game to give out this year. So everybody gets a little something, you know, hopefully everybody gets something. Nobody gets everything.
With the program that you guys use, what sort of parameters do you kind of enter in to make sure things end up as even as possible, like when it comes to road trips and travel and stuff like that?
Yeah, all of them. I mean, that's the beauty of the computers, is they can do in, you know, a second what it would take us, you know, 1,000 years to do. So the computers are brilliant, but they're also kind of dumb, right? They only do what they're told. So if we don't explain to the computer, this is why we don't want this 3-game road trip, or this is why a team can't play multiple short weeks on the road, or this is why a team that had the week 5 bye last year shouldn't have it again this year. Like, we've literally got to write every single one of those rules. And so it's, some of them are evergreen, you know, kind of like you were hinting at. Nobody's going to get a 4-game road trip and stuff like that. But everything else, the computer needs to be told. And it's different every year, because some teams emerge and are ascending, and other teams are struggling and maybe rebuilding. And so you can't just, you know, run it back, copy paste from year to year. Every year is different. Stadium availability is different. Travel is different. International games are different. So the computer's got to be told all the parameters, all the guardrails, all the constraints, all the rules that you want it to follow. And then if we're doing our job and the computer's doing their job, you can kind of meet in the middle and figure out, all right, we've got to break some eggs to make an omelet. Which eggs are breakable? Which ones are going to save a lot of other pain somewhere? You know, you can have 10 teams with little problems or one team with a big problem. Which one's better? Good question.
Have you guys been warned of 18 games on the horizon? Because it does seem like that day is coming down the road here.
There certainly does seem to be a lot of conversation about it. You know, we were 40 years at 16-4, and we've only been 3 years at 17-3. You know, I don't know that 18-2 is coming tomorrow. I don't even know if it's going to be 18-2. It might just be 18-1. You know, I don't know that multiple buys for every team is practical. Seems to be like you get some kind of ramp down and then ramp back up after a bye week when you're out of the building and you're out of your routine. I think we might actually be a little more susceptible to injuries coming out of bye weeks, even than on short weeks or on long travel or stuff like that. Plus, if you think about expanding the season over 20 weeks, we're only adding 16 games. So it means you're going to thin out some of these other weeks. Yes, we're adding more weeks, but I think we're thinning out some of the other existing weeks, and you got to fit all those extra buys probably into the middle somewhere. I don't think we're going to do buys in weeks 1, 2, and 3. I don't think we're going to do buys in 18, 19, 20 if we end up going to 20 weeks. So I'm not sure the second bye is fait accompli. I'm not sure the 18 games is imminent. There does seem to be a lot of talk about it. But sure, as a scheduling team, we've definitely done some models and we've thought about what it might look like. It's making a impossible problem even harder somehow.
Talking to Mike North, the VP of NFL Broadcast Planning here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Mike, speaking of buys, do some teams, when they're coming off an international game, do they request a bye? Like, for example, did the Steelers request to have a bye in Week 5 after they play in Dublin?
When we were first kind of dipping our toe into the water on international games, we were incredibly accommodating about byes. Like, oh my goodness, we're going to go play a game in London? Of course you need your bye the week after. Like, that's a long trip. But if you think about it, like for the Steelers, for instance, like going over to Dublin, playing in the afternoon, and then coming back, like they're probably back in their facility by midnight. Like, that's less than if you played at San Fran or at Seattle. So these international games, at least in the UK and Europe, they're becoming a little bit more routine. So we've gotten rid of the rule that said, you know, teams had the option to get their bye. Now the byes fall where they fall. And I don't know that the Steelers were happy with their bye in week five. I'm not sure anybody's volunteering for a week five bye, but coming back from a long trip, a little out of your routine, they get their Thursday game coming a little bit later, so you get like that mini bye after the Thursday. Teams no longer get to, you know, request their bye after international. They might get it. They might not. The byes move around like bad luck moves around. You might get a three-game road trip. You might get two short week Thursdays. There's always something that the clubs are looking at, but nobody's guaranteed the bye after the international games anymore.
And speaking of the international games, I think it just comes with the growth of the international games. I know that Roger Goodell told at least one publication recently, he thinks that there could be at some point 16 international games per season, which would have every single team in the NFL playing in one. How much more difficult does that make things for you guys?
No, incredibly. But he doesn't care. Look, I mean, he's been very public about, you know, our international growth strategy and, you know, can we get to 10, 12, maybe someday 16 international games? The answer is yes. We will figure it out. We will do it. It won't be without some challenges and some, you know, I don't want to say heartbreak, but there will definitely be an impact. But it's doable, like everything else in the schedule. I mean, there's going to be a trade-off, and we're just going to have to figure out, you know, where our priorities lie. And if our priorities lie in continuing to expand the international footprint and the strategic growth opportunity that we have by going into more of these markets, it really does seem like every time we go to a new place, there's two or three more kind of raising their hands once they see it. And our international group does an incredible job. They do the same thing at the Super Bowl. They bring all the prospective future hosts to these international games. And once somebody from, you know, Paris sees what's going on in Madrid, they're going to raise their hand. And now we're talking about Australia next year and maybe someday Abu Dhabi or the UAE. I mean, there's really no limit to what we could do as long as everybody's, you know, committed to the initiative and aware that, yeah, there's going to have to be some compromises in here somewhere if we keep growing like this.
This is a question that a lot of people have in Pittsburgh because it's like an ongoing yearly debate because the Steelers rarely open the season at home. And my thought of it has always been, well, if the Pirates have a home Sunday at 1:35 the same week as week one of the NFL season, very unlikely that the Steelers, who share parking lots with that team, will also be home. Is that taken into account with teams around the league, or is that just something that has randomly happened all of these years now?
No, it's definitely impacted by the Pirates' schedule. The interesting thing is, you know, let's say we go two or three years in a row where the Pirates have a home game on the opening Sunday, and so we can or we won't schedule a Steelers home game that weekend. And then the next year, you've actually got a window. The Pirates are on the road, or the series ends on Thursday, or whatever it is, and there is this window, this opportunity to get the Steelers home, and we don't do it, then you might run into another stretch of two or three or four years in a row where the Pirates are using their building that weekend. So constantly aware of it. Certainly no surprises for Omar and the guys over at the Steelers when the Pirates have the building, when they're playing a home game Sunday of week one. We do not. Could we? I know you guys have done it before, right? I'm pretty sure we played an afternoon game for one and an evening game for the other. And maybe someday when the Pirates get good again and start making playoff runs in October, we'll have to figure out a way to do like a Steelers game at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and maybe the Pirates hosting an NLCS game too at 8 o'clock that night. I know you guys can do it, but in the regular season for them and for us, it's usually something we try to avoid. Yeah.
Yeah. The last time and the only time to my knowledge was in September of 2013. The Steelers had a home Sunday night game against the Bears in week three, and the Pirates had a 1 o'clock or a 1:35 game at home. But otherwise, I don't think we've ever seen it. And that's something I always point out to people. You wouldn't believe the flack, though, because it's just like, bro, nobody's going to a Pirate game in September anyway. They can do this. And I'm like, I think it has something to do with it. So I'm glad you cleared that up, Mike. Speaking more with the Steelers and their impending quarterback, at least we think, Aaron Rodgers, how much of an impact did he play in your scheduling of the Steelers?
Yeah, you know what we know. Nobody should assume anything with Aaron, and obviously I think the Steelers' schedule is more interesting. I think the NFL is more interesting if he plays, but it's whatever, June, right? And we still don't know. So we definitely didn't build this schedule assuming he was going to be the quarterback. If he were, if we knew today that Aaron was playing for the Steelers, I'm not sure we would have had to, you know, call it restraint to schedule the Steelers for 1 o'clock on, you know, Sunday afternoon of week one. I imagine he and the team would have been in a primetime window. I think it would have been one of the more interesting games in week one. So as it is, you know, it's Steelers Jets week one. At worst, it's Justin Fields against one of his old teams. At best, it's Justin and Aaron against one of their old teams. The one game we probably did kind of pay just a touch of extra attention to was the Packers game. Obviously, if he's playing quarterback for the Steelers, this would be the first time he's playing against the Packers since he left. And that's probably not a game that would belong at 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon and available in 15 or 20% of the country, or maybe shouldn't be, you know, in the double header with CBS and Fox. You'd probably end up imbalancing that window if one of them had Aaron Rodgers against his old team. So that was probably the one game that we probably at least kind of hedged on just a little. It's still Packers-Steelers. It's still a good Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night game, regardless of who's playing quarterback for either of those two teams. But if he does come back and he does play for the Steelers, that one's obviously going to get a lot of attention. Definitely needed to make sure that that one wasn't lost or buried somewhere in a window where not every fan could see it, because that's surely going to be one of the storylines of the season if he does come back.
Speaking of the primetime slate as a whole, those Sunday, Monday, Thursday night games, it seems like a stronger Thursday night football schedule than usual, at least on paper. I know sometimes that can fall apart because it's really hard to project, as you were saying. But was that kind of an emphasis for you guys to maybe make the Thursday night games bolstered up a little?
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
I think it's kind of consistent with how we've been treating the Amazon package over the last couple of years. Wasn't that long ago Thursday Night Football was a broadcast package. You know, Fox had it, CBS had it, NBC had it. I think you saw some pretty big games there, and you could get to, you know, 15, 16, 18 million people watching on broadcast television. As the package moved over to a streaming partner, you know, it took a minute for our fans and everybody to develop that muscle memory of finding Amazon Prime. I mean, everybody has Amazon Prime, right? We all buy our paper towels there. Who knew you could watch football there? So it took us all a minute to just kind of get that muscle memory down and remember that, yep, there's football on Thursday. Yep, it's on Amazon. Yep, I've got Amazon. And now you're starting to see that they're getting to broadcast television level viewership numbers. They averaged, I think, 13 million something last year for the Thursday Night Football package. That's right around where, you know, some of our broadcast partner games are averaging. So I think it's just a continued emphasis on the fact that, you know, the streaming partners are viable home for NFL games. We're not on streaming platforms that nobody's ever heard of. You know, these are widely distributed platforms, hundreds of millions of homes with, YouTube and Netflix and Amazon and Peacock. And you're going to continue to see us putting good games in there. I think maybe the one thing people don't realize is the short week Thursday, it's a challenge, obviously, for the players to get their bodies ready and healthy and rested and ready to play again. It's also a challenge for the coaching staff to get a game plan in place and to get ready to play on such a short week. Playing division games on Thursday nights ends up helping with that because you know your division opponents well. You've played them twice a year forever. So it helps a little bit with the game planning, and that's something that we've always kind of leaned toward and leaned into was more division games on the Thursday Night Football package. So if you're looking at the Thursday package and seeing more division games and thinking to yourself, hey, that makes for better television, it's not an accident, but it's less about, hey, how good can we make the television package? And it's a consideration about, hey, we know this is a challenge for everybody getting ready to play on a short week, including the coaching staff. Here's an opponent you're familiar with. That should help.
Do you think that streaming could really take over the NFL, like how we have known Fox and CBS forever? Do you think there's a day where we don't get NFL games on there regularly, and it is more on Peacock and Netflix and Amazon?
Look, anything's possible. Who knows what the world's going to look like 5 or 10 years from now? We're doing things and playing games and watching and ingesting content on platforms that didn't exist 5 or 10 years ago. So who knows? But I think it's pretty safe to say that, you know, the NFL is all about reach. They're all about reaching the mass audience. They're all about fishing where the fish are. And at least for now, that is still on broadcast television. So whatever it is, 87-88% of our games are still on broadcast television partners. And even the ones that wander off to a streaming platform, again, number one, these are widely distributed streaming platforms. Everybody's going to be able to watch the Chiefs-Chargers game in Brazil on YouTube for free. Everybody's got Amazon Prime. Everybody's got Netflix. These are, you know, platforms that are distributed at scale. So it's not like we're going with somebody we've never heard of. And just as the fallback, as always, if you're playing on a game on Netflix, on Hulu, on Peacock, on Apple TV Plus, whatever it is, game's always going to be available in the market on free over-the-air television. So the fans will always have that as an option.
We have the triple header on Christmas again this year after the double header last year. Triple header, as always, on Thanksgiving. Now, we have the two traditional Thanksgiving teams, the Lions and the Cowboys. We also heard rumblings, and maybe you can confirm or deny this. Have the Chiefs volunteered to play on Christmas every year?
Well, they volunteered this year. I mean, I think they've been clear about that. They've definitely said that, you know, we've had a great experience on the holiday the last couple of years. They've even done, I think, a Hallmark movie or two about the Chiefs on Christmas. I think the Chiefs are quite enjoying it right now. Look, they have the luxury of having a, you know, generational future Hall of Fame quarterback and a fan base that will show up whether we play on a Tuesday or a Wednesday on Christmas or whatever. So easy to volunteer when things are going well. I'm not sure that the league is going to, you know, commit to a permanent home for the third game on Thanksgiving, for Black Friday, for Christmas. But yeah, always some benefit to a team raising their hand saying, hey, we'd be willing and we think our market would really appreciate it and turn out for it. And, you know, makes the schedule maker's job a little easier when it's, you know, a perennial Super Bowl contender like the Chiefs that you know is going to deliver an audience on that day. So, you know, Amazon was real happy to see a Chiefs game on their schedule. Like you said, the back end of a triple header now, the biggest streaming day ever, maybe two games on Netflix, one on Amazon. And if everybody gets to that 25 million number or so like they did last year, that's going to be pretty incredible.
When it comes to volunteers and playing the international games, we know that Jacksonville does it every single year. Do you kind of get volunteers for that? Or now that there's the whole international partnership and everything, it just kind of, you know, falls into place. Like this team will play internationally next year. This team will play internationally the year after that.
Yeah, a bit of a rotation. Our international group, led by Peter O'Reilly and Matt Shapiro, are having conversations with clubs about, you know, 2028 and 2029 and 2032 right now, and which markets are we going to try to get into and which teams make sense in those markets, and when is it your turn, and where do you have a fan base? So there's a lot of, you know, aim high steering with the international games. But there is still some room for volunteering. You know, obviously you guys are playing Minnesota this year, and they did indeed volunteer for a back-to-back. It's going to be the first time you got a team playing multiple games internationally as the road team, two different countries. And that started really with the commissioner. You know, we had reached out to the Vikings. We obviously, they knew they were playing Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh this year. They knew Pittsburgh was hosting a game in Dublin. So that was an option, a possibility for them. Same thing with Cleveland. They knew they were going to Cleveland this year. They knew Cleveland was hosting a London game. That was an option. Commissioner said, do you think they'd do both? So we reached out to the Vikings, and they went from somewhat open-minded to a little bit more than willing to downright eager. I think I'm sure they're thinking about it as, you know, hey, we have to go to Pittsburgh at some point. Rather than go in December in the cold, we're a dome team, you know, let's get it out of the way nice and early and do it in a neutral site, and then have it, you know, no longer hanging over our heads. So I'm sure part of it was football-related. Some of it's surely marketing-related. They have a pretty rabid fan base over there, the Vikings do, in the UK, and they're trying to build that out as one of their markets. So I think it's a little bit of a dance back and forth, some competitive, some marketing. And, yeah, clubs are somewhat volunteering, somewhat being told, you know, maybe voluntold. But everybody's going to give up a home game over here at some point over the next few years.
Week 16, you guys have a couple of planned Saturday games, a couple of really good NFC divisional matchups that day. It is also going to be competing with the college football playoff. Was there any difficulties working around that or any flack that was received for putting two games on that day?
No, that's an NFL day. I mean, we've been very clear with our friends at the CFP, and we've had, you know, multiple meetings with them. We are, you know, we cooperate. We're friends. They play, you know, bowl games in NFL stadiums in Atlanta and Dallas and Indianapolis and Miami and Los Angeles and Las Vegas, and we always try to accommodate those. There's been times when we've moved kickoff times or moved games. We had a Monday night game January 1 a couple of years ago. We moved Monday night football off of Monday and moved it to Saturday so as not to compete with the Rose Bowl. Like, we do cooperate. We're all friends. Anybody watching football, anybody investing in football is good for us both. But they knew as they expanded the CFP, they were going to run out of weeks. And that third Saturday in December, right, we've got the sports broadcast law. We don't play starting with the second Saturday in September through the second Saturday in December. So that third Saturday in December, that's an NFL day. We've been playing there, I believe it's 37 of the last 40 years. So that's an NFL game day. We play there. Totally acknowledge that, you know, CFP has to do what's right for them, and they're trying to figure it out. I don't know what they do if they expand even further. They're going to need maybe another week in there somewhere. I don't know how they're going to work that all out, but none of this was done, you know, to anybody's surprise. This was all well above board years and years ago, and certainly trying to figure out a way for everybody to coexist. But what a great day for the fans. You look at what it was last year when we had a couple of games and they had three, and there was an awful lot of people watching an awful lot of really good football that day. So not a surprise to anybody. Obviously, Fox saw the benefit in having a couple extra national, truly national windows. And, yeah, you're trying to guess as we sit here today who's going to be relevant 8 months from now, playing in a national window on that Saturday, your guess is as good as ours. So you kind of default to a division game because, you know, one way or another, those division games are going to matter. We got really lucky, I think, last year when we did that Christmas round robin that you guys were involved in with the Chiefs and the Texans and the Ravens. We had to find four teams in May of last year that were all going to be playoff relevant, that all played each other, one home and one away, so we could do the Saturday to Wednesday thing. We got really fortunate, right? All four teams made the playoffs, everybody playing for something. Those were a fun couple of days for the NFL. Same thing here. You put some division games in there, you know they're going to matter.
Mike, you are one of the masterminds behind the NFL schedule. What is your single favorite game on the 25-26 slate?
Ask me which one of my kids is my favorite. That's a good question. I will probably go, you know what? I'll go with kickoff. I'll go with the first one. We've got so long to wait for football to be back again. And to do a Dallas-Philly game for kickoff, usually not the kind of thing we do in week one. There's probably a floor to the viewership number for kickoff just because everybody's so excited. Finally, football is back. And, you know, we've taken a flyer here and there on, you know, some kickoff games where we didn't always put, you know, the single best opponent on the Super Bowl champ schedule in there. You know, Baltimore was maybe a bit of a, you know, reach for us last year. It ended up being a great game down to the wire with the kid's toe on the white at the back of the end zone on the last play. Like, that kind of showed us that, you know there's a floor, but could we really test the ceiling? And we probably haven't gotten maximum value out of the two Cowboys-Eagles games these last couple of years, whether by injury or records or clinch position. So getting one of those Cowboys-Eagles games in nice and early like that, you know it's relevant. You know it's going to matter. You know the Eagles fans are going to love hanging a banner with the Cowboys in the building. And it was kind of a consistent theme for us, just the way the 272 matchups laid out this year, whether by standings or by rotation, they were really good. There's a lot of depth, a lot of quality, so we could afford to go a little bigger maybe on kickoff than we normally would, a little bigger on Thanksgiving maybe than we normally would. We had the inventory, we had an opportunity to really kind of, you know, my boss Hans keeps saying take the Ferrari out of the garage. That's kind of what we're doing here with kickoff, so really looking forward to that one. Football season can't get here soon enough. I wish we were starting tomorrow.
Mike North, the Vice President of NFL Broadcast Planning. Mike, this was awesome, man. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Happy to do it, Donnie. Happy to come back on mid-season. We can talk about flex and what we learned and if Aaron's there, what's going to change. Call me anytime. Always happy to talk about this
stuff. That sounds good to me. Thank you so much.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.